This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We're relentless and kept pushing, but kind of like wasted that effort, even though I know it's not wasted because our lessons are learned. And I know we're not going to make the mistakes of the past again, but in a moment like this, we need to make these things matter.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a good start. Mine's off to a better start than it was yesterday. Although the wife
better than your wife's.
Yeah, she just called during the break. Still dealing with it. We're battling through. But, you know, food poisoning will hit all of us from time to time. Lots to get to. We'll get to the mail sack coming up in the final hour of the show. Let's go, though, to Chicago, or should I say Indiana. What's the latest? Are the Bears on the move to a different state? And the man with the last name of the town they might be moving to. I'm wondering if there's a conflict of interest here. Sean Hammond joining us now, Chicago Beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, at Sean_Hammond on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Sean, good morning to you, man. We've been following this story, obviously, from afar. We're in tune with it because the Blazers are dealing with a arena renovation and how's this going to look, and, you know, city officials saying, do we want to spend this, and are we helping billionaires out? And so for those who have not kind of dove into it, where are we at? Are the Bears officially moving to Indiana? Is it still up in the air? Where are we at in this entire process?
Yeah, well first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on and talking, yeah, some Bears Stadium, and like you said, I got the last name Hammond. I like to say it's good for SEO. You know, people googling Bears Hammond. That's only going to be good for me, right?
Absolutely.
You know, the Bears put out a statement on Friday. They said that their board of directors voted, and they are now focused solely on Northwest Indiana, specifically on Hammond. They also, in that statement, said that they haven't narrowed down an exact location. So this is far from over. I think this is sort of the Bears' way of saying, hey, we're serious. We really will move to Indiana, because that's been kind of a thing that's been talked about the last 6 months. You know, the Bears first acknowledged that they were considering Indiana back in December. And I think a lot of people said, yeah, right, you're not going to do that. And, The state legislature was unable to get anything done in Illinois before their session ran out last week. And so now the Bears are, you know, I think they're this was their way of saying, we are serious. We will do this. You know, now is the time to get something done in Illinois, or we're going to leave.
Mm. How much money are we talking about between what the Bears are aiming for here and what the legislators are saying they refuse to pay? Like, what financially does this look like?
Yeah, so in Illinois, the Bears, what really the haggling has been about is the tax value of their land in Arlington Heights. They already bought this 300-acre land in Arlington Heights in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. It's really, I mean, geographically speaking, I think it's pretty ideal for both the Bears, who train up in the north suburbs. Their players and coaches all live up in the north suburbs, and also their season ticket holder base. I mean, that's generally a little bit wealthier area of Chicagoland. And so I think geographically speaking, that is the ideal place. If you're going to leave the city of Chicago, that's an ideal place to build your stadium. And so they bought this land several years ago now, and they've been haggling. They were haggling with the local governing bodies over what the property tax value of that is. How much are we going to be paying in taxes every single year? And they tore down the racetrack that was there pretty quickly, right after they closed on the deal, in order to say, oh, it's just vacant land, and try to get that tax down a little bit more. And so now, as they're looking towards building a stadium, they've been trying to figure out how could they get, you know, they don't want to build a stadium and then the taxes go up astronomically, you know, 10 years down the road. At least from the Bears' perspective, that's not what they want. They want some, they've been using the term tax certainty. They want to know what their tax bill is going to be, or relatively close to what it's going to be into the future. And the state of Illinois, you know, there was a proposed, they call it a mega project bill that would apply to the Bears stadium, but also it would apply to any really, really big company that wants to build whatever, if you're talking Amazon or whatever the case may be. And that would have brought them some of that tax certainty that they're looking for. But at the same time, you're looking for legislators in Springfield, state legislators, to get something done that would allow you to leave the city of Chicago. And now a big, big portion of those legislators represent the city of Chicago. And so that's kind of where the conflict comes in.
Interesting, interesting. We're talking with Sean Hammond of the Chicago Tribune, covering the Bears, Chicago beat reporter, at Sean_Hammond on Twitter. I'm curious to ask you where the fans are at on all of this. Like, I know this has been bubbling under the scenes. You mentioned, you know, how long ago they bought the site in you know, outside of Chicago, the rumors of them moving to Indiana. Like, are they just indifferent to it at this point because it's been going on for so long? Are there fans who are threatening to, you know, quit their fandom if they move to Indiana? It's hard to, you know, boil it all down to one, but if you're just kind of ballparking, where's the general Bear fan at right now on this story?
Well, there's definitely certain aspects of this story that people are tired of. You know, I mentioned the Bears put out this statement on Friday. I can't tell you how many statements the Bears have put out over the last 5 to 6 years. Every time there's a new statement from the Bears, I think that's getting a lot of eye rolls because they say, you know, we're focused here, we're focused there, and then it just changes in 6 months. And so it's, none of these, you know, you got to take these statements with a grain of salt. And I think Bears fans are definitely doing that. I think by and large, I mean, I hear from a lot of people who want them to remain in the city of Chicago because, and you know, you just look at the playoff games at Soldier Field last year on the lakefront. I mean, that is a cool atmosphere. Right. You got the city skyline right there. I think that a lot of fans would like them to stay there. Now, it is a difficult place to get to. You know, whether you're driving or trying to take public transportation. But that's kind of run its course. They tried to get something done to build a dome stadium in the city. That didn't go very far. And so then, you know, they turned their focus back to Arlington Heights, and that's been the focus for a while. And now you got Northwest Indiana. I think there's a section of Bears fans that doesn't care either way. They're going to watch the game on Sunday no matter where it's at. There's certainly a section of Bears fans who say, okay, well, Hammond, Indiana is, you know, a few hundred feet from the state of Illinois. You know, it borders Illinois. It's wherever they put the stadium, it's less than a mile over the border. Is it that big of a deal? Probably not. And then, you know, there's I think a lot of fans who are still sort of in disbelief that they would go to Indiana, regardless of how close it is to the city of Chicago.
How do you think people have been feeling about the politician side of this stuff? Like, I know everybody has a viewpoint of different politics from outside looking in, but when you're in it, you kind of have a better feel of it. How are people feeling about the political side of this?
You know, I think that there's a lot of people in Illinois and in Chicago who are not surprised by sort of the dysfunction that we've seen. This is nothing new in the state of Illinois. I mean, we've dealt with all sorts of crazy politicians and Rod Blagojevich and, you know, all these different characters, and getting things done in Chicago is difficult, and getting things done in the state of Illinois, especially like I mentioned with the Bears situation. I mean, they need the Chicago vote if they're going to get something done in the state of Illinois. And it's hard to do that when you're trying to leave Chicago. And so I think that there's a lot of people who aren't surprised by how difficult this has been for the Bears. And the other thing too is, like, the Bears have kind of shot themselves in the foot here. Like, they've never really had a clear plan. They've been not with their words and what they say publicly, but their actions tell you that they're just trying to get the best deal. They don't seem to really care one way or another where they wind up. Now, I'm sure they do care,
right?
But their actions would tell you that they're just looking for the best deal.
Yeah, I it's an impossible question to answer, but I'm just curious, if somebody who's followed the team and reported on it for a long time, like, what's your best guess on where this all ends up? Do they become the Indiana Bears, or is something worked out at Arlington Heights?
You know, I've been saying since the very beginning, since they started talking about Chicago again after already buying the land in the suburbs, I do think they wind up in Arlington Heights. Okay. I have always believed that for some of the reasons I said at the top. Like, it's a geographically, it's a perfect location. It's a huge plot of land. They could build all sorts of stuff around the stadium, and they want to do that. And it just makes too much sense. Now, obviously, things are developing. Things have been going in Indiana's favor. Would it surprise me if that winds up being the ultimate decision? Not entirely, but I still, even with the statement they put out on Friday, I still lean towards this is somehow, something's going to get done in Illinois to keep them here, and they're going to wind up in the northwest suburbs in Arlington Heights. That's what my gut tells me.
The way you're describing the Bears sending out statements is it's making me think as a parent how many times I've said, I'm going to count to three, two,
three,
two and a half,
two,
right,
three's
exactly
next,
one and a quarter.
I'll move.
One
I'm
and
telling
two quarters.
You. Has the NFL jumped in or felt like they need to? Because you're not describing a very, it doesn't seem like the relationship between whoever is representing the Bears, whether it's ownership, whether it's Kevin Warren, I don't know who you would say is kind of the most vocal of that group, but whoever that is, it doesn't seem like it's going well. Has the NFL felt the need to step in any way yet, or have they largely stayed out and let political leaders deal with team representatives?
Well, I know Roger Goodell was in town a couple of months ago, and he looked at both the sites in the northwest suburbs and in northwest Indiana. That might have been around when the playoff game was back in January. I forget exactly. And I know that, you know, based on reporting from my colleague Brad Biggs at the Tribune, the NFL has been asking for updates. You know, they had their May owners meeting. Like, they've been asking for updates, and the Bears have been updating them on the plan. I think there's a little bit more urgency there in terms of, I think the NFL is kind of saying, all right, guys, let's wrap this up. It's been 6 years. Let's figure something out. but that's really been about the extent of what we've heard from Roger Goodell or from the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Settle something for us here, Sean. So we're talking with Sean Hamm at Chicago Tribune, covering the Bears beat reporter. But the Bills just built a new stadium, and they chose to not dome their stadium up. Now, when you're in a place like Buffalo or Chicago, there's obviously the idea of weather has always impacted your games. You mentioned the playoff game, like the Rams game and the Packer game. It just was, it was perfect. As somebody who loves outdoor football and cold weather football, it was glorious. My co-host is a believer of every stadium should have a dome. Let's not let weather impact games.
I want my quarterbacks to be elite, Sean.
He wants his quarterbacks
to
play at a high level and get it a dome. But we also know the other impact of a dome is obviously what? You can host a Super Bowl and a Final
concerts,
Four and
yeah.
concerts and, you know, all the other stuff that comes with year-round that you can't do in Buffalo and Chicago in pockets of the year. If you were to pull Bears fans, what percentage of them would be outraged by the idea of their team playing in a dome and no longer having weather impacts on the game?
I honestly think it would be over 50%. I think people like that the Bears are outside and that the weather, you know, you can argue whether it really plays in your favor, but it certainly affects the game one way or another. Now, those same fans that might be the ones saying they want Caleb Williams to throw for 4,000 yards. So, I mean, you know, take what the fans say with a grain of salt.
Right.
I know that the Bears are, like you said, they're certainly looking at the revenue they can make all year round when there's a roof on that stadium. And, and I think Buffalo probably realized that that was, you know, the city of Buffalo is maybe not the same draw when you have New York right down the road. But certainly I think the fans like that the weather is a part of Chicago football. I mean, I think they think that football should be played outside. And you kind of see that when they it was the first time in a long time that the Bears were playing January football that mattered. So it was cool to see.
Yeah, those people are psychotic, and watching them breathe in 10-degree weather makes me feel so
I'm
bad.
I'm willing to lose
them.
A foot if I need to, I okay? Mean, whatever it takes for my team out here.
There's a Chiefs fan with one less finger today because of a playoff game a few years ago. Final one for you. Do you believe in the Madden curse, and how would we grade the offseason of the Chicago Bears, who are coming in with a lot of momentum after year one under Ben Johnson?
You know, I think the Madden curse has probably run its course. I think that's probably not too much of an issue for Caleb Williams. I don't know. We'll see. They also got the city of Chicago skyline in the background there, so maybe this is just telling us that the Bears are going to leave the city. As far as what the Bears have done, I mean, they, by and large, are bringing back the same offense other than DJ Moore. I think that the DJ Moore trade was necessary based on on the production you were getting for a guy who was going to eat up $28 million of your salary cap. I mean, that's a tenth of your team right there. And he, you know, he put up 600 yards last season. I just don't think that that was viable long-term. Now, I know that they love DJ Moore, like personality-wise and toughness and all that. You look at the defensive side, they've made some changes. They're trying to get faster. They swapped out Tremaine Edmonds, their big lanky linebacker in the middle, for Devin Bush, who's a lot quicker. Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, wants to be quick on that back end. They need to get better on the defensive side. And so that's really kind of where they focused a lot of their efforts. And we'll kind of see what that looks like if they're successful in sort of bringing that defensive side along to match what they were able to do offensively last year. They didn't have a ton of cap room. I think they did what they could with what they had. And so I feel like this was a good offseason. They got some good young players, a new young center who could be their center into the future. Dylan Thienemann, first-round pick, probably going to be starting in that safety spot defensively. I think things are trending positively for the Bears. The schedule is going to be tougher. And so that's always a challenge.
Yeah, we saw Dylan Thienemann up close and personal last year. He's a hell of a player, hell of a kid. That was a great pick at the end of the first round. Sean Hammond, at Sean_Hammond on Twitter, Chicago Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, updating us on, are they the Indiana Bears or still the Chicago Bears for now? Still Chicago. Sean, thanks for the time in Portland, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely. Sean Hammond of the Chicago Tribune. Good stuff. It just, you know, somebody made the joke on the text line during the interview. Are we sure this guy's talking about Chicago? Are we not? Is he talking about Portland right now? It's like, yeah, dude. We're not the only, liberal city who's going through this idea of how many tax breaks are we going to give and where should the money be allocated. It is interesting to get the full, because I don't, you follow the general framework of the story, but not a lot of the details. I didn't realize how long ago they had bought the Arlington
Heights
Parks,
area.
Arlington Heights. Yeah. Area and owning that land, and it seems like that is more reasonable than moving them to Indiana. And the indifference of the fans, where I get it, where like the story just won't go away, and you're like, can we just get a resolution, whether it's in Indiana or Chicago? Can we just stop talking about this?
Yeah, I kind of, he's far more plugged in. That's why we brought him on, to kind of give us the lowdown of everything over there. We did the breaking news sounder when they did their team announcement of the Indiana stuff, and I just kind of chuckle of like, they keep sending out statements about Indiana, and it really does feel like the dad threatening to count to three while trying to get your kid to listen to you, and the kid's still not listening. 2.5.
Right.
2¾. And it's like, you're never going to say three. And I think city leaders there, look, they need to get their heads out of the you-know-whats, and I think a lot of people would prefer them to just stay in Arlington, including the team. But it does kind of fall on deaf ears when you're making these threats over and over and over again of, we're going to move.
We're going to do it.
We're going to go to the other state.
Don't you make us do it.
You guys don't want to.
Just do it.
You want to stay where you're at. You're going to tax you on the land, and you got to figure out some of the numbers of this stuff. But I like that his prediction is stay in Chicago.
Another angle of this, too, is reminding ourselves that in 1920, George Halas paid a $100 franchise fee to join the league.
How much money have they made as a franchise?
They did a minority stake valuation, because I think they sold a chunk of the team a year ago. I don't know what percentage, but they always do a franchise valuation when they sell those. And the franchise was valued at $8.9
billion. That's a $10 billion team. They're in Chicago. They got a superstar quarterback right now. Like, as long as they keep
$100 running, for the team.
That's a $10 billion franchise that they bought for $100. And even with the $10 billion valuation, how much money have they made owning the team?
That old, what's the old gal, George, what's her name?
Halas's daughter. Yeah. I don't know, man, but they've made so much money from that franchise.
Her old butt sitting up there, pay for the damn stadium. There you go, an update out of Chicago and their stadium fiasco. They might be the Indiana Bears, or maybe the Arlington Heights Bears. Let's get back into the Brendan Sorsby thing. I missed the story yesterday, but it's taken a couple of different pivots, including somebody writing something today that makes me believe in a conspiracy theory. We'll give you the latest update out of that one. That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Great stuff from Sean Hammond on the Bears and their situation. Don't forget, in about 32 minutes, we are going to
Mail Sack.
You get your questions in, 503-864-6326. Fire them away. We'll answer them coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get Blue Line Brandon's thoughts on Game 4, a pivotal Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, which is tonight. So far, 6-for-6 in the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals. We'll see if they can make it 7-for-7 this evening. Do we view this as a earth-shattering landmark moment that will change the way the sport is viewed in years to come, or another blip on the radar of, God, isn't this chaotic? Hey, look at that. There's a game on tonight. Let's watch it. Yeah. Yesterday, I was out. Food poisoning did it to me. The wife's still dealing with it, unfortunately. But a pretty big news story hit out of the college football world that kind of evolved as the day went on. Brendan Sorsby was announced eligible via a judge in Lubbock, Texas. In shocking fashion, a judge in his own backyard said, oh, this is going to have irreparable harm to his future ability to earn money. We can't bar him from playing in college athletics.
Yeah.
His university has stood by his side every step of the way because they desperately want their multi-million dollar starting quarterback to play this year for their multi-million dollar college football roster. And because of the way the court process is going to play out, the appeal by the NCAA might not even be heard until some point late in the football season or after the college football season.
Probably February.
Essentially meaning he is going to play. And so it's interesting. This was such a shocking yet not shocking announcement of, I'm not surprised, it's a judge in Lubbock, Texas, but also he did the Pete Rose thing and he was granted immediate eligibility to play.
Yeah.
And in any other professional sport, you're essentially banned for life for gambling on these kinds of things. Do we view it now that we've had some time, and I know there's some other angles to it and we can unpack all of it,
sure,
that's evolved in the last 24 hours. Do we view it more as another speed bump that college athletics has gone through and we've gone through a million of these, uh-huh, or this is a turning in the fork in the road moment where it takes a different direction?
Well, I guess what I would ask is, in what direction do you think the fork is going? Like, what if you were to go right or left at the fork, are you going right or left? Like, if you think there's a direction here,
does it turn towards?
Then I would tell you to go bet in the Kalshi market, because I don't think any of the people most plugged into the sport have any idea. Here's what I think.
Do we think it leads to collective bargaining or a passing a congressional act?
You know, they will, if this bill fails,
that makes it a landmark moment.
They will just drum up another bill. Do not want collective bargaining. You mentioned Pete Rose. The difference with Pete Rose in this?
Right.
Collective bargain.
You can ban him from life and he can't file a lawsuit with a judge who likes him and have it overturned.
Look, I read a lot of stuff yesterday. I watched a little bit of stuff when I got home. Here's my big takeaway. One, what I really hate, and I don't blame, I guess, the defense for this, mm-hmm, it's just like, when like anxiety got brought up, and we were hosting when this became like a big topic. Remember Simone Biles, the Olympics was a big deal, right?
Yes, mental health stuff.
Mental health stuff. Yeah. People would like openly mock it. Oh, mental health stuff. It's weak, this generation.
Yeah.
And now I think we've gone almost the other way, where anything bad that somebody does, we lean into the, well, he's got mental health issues.
He's got a mental health problem.
Because you don't want to be the guy that be like, no, you don't. You're an addict, and you can say that's a mental health issue, but okay, come on, what are you doing here?
Right.
You're taking this too far. And so I didn't like that part of it. The other thing that I have that weirdly bothered me, the judge being in Lubbock and having that ruling, I was shocked he got it, but also not shocked when you see that it's in Lubbock.
Right.
The angle of the judge took of like, actually, you're making some good points here. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but you're suspended two games and this is a good point. You're eligible. Not stunning, but again, still like, what? The defense, not shocking. I actually weirdly found myself getting upset because all I heard all day was how landmark this is. Landmark this, landmark that. Mm-hmm. The AD of Nebraska, the AD of another institute, Ohio State, we will not schedule any games, Texas Tech.
Georgia and Nebraska were the first two.
And then The Athletic does an article. All the thoughts of the coaches in college football and Brendan Sorsby. And then what does it say? We talked to 12 coaches in Power 6 conferences and Power 4 conferences. None of them have the balls to put their name on these quotes.
No.
And I'm telling you, the Sorsby thing, the ruling, it's disgusting. It's a separate thing. I'm going to put it to the side here.
Okay.
Part of the biggest problem in that stupid-ass sport that we love so much is the cowards that lay there with all of these high and mighty quotes and won't put their names to it. You want to have an impact? Kirby Smart, come out, tell me how wrong this is. Dan Lanning, come out, tell me how wrong this is. Ryan Day, Steve Sarkisian wants to pop off on basket weaving, but he doesn't want to let you know publicly his thoughts on Brendan Sorsby. I hope all of these guys come out and have something to say about it. I really do. But reading an article of Big 12 coaches who are anonymously saying, oh, man, this sucks. Oh, this is terrible. Anonymous. Who are you? put your name on it. You want to make an impact, you want to lead to change and have real conversation.
Yeah.
Put your names on it, you cowards. You know why they won't? And here's the other part I got mad about. I think this is absolutely fundamentally wrong. This kid's going to be able to play. Obviously, it's a cardinal known rule in all of sport. Don't gamble. Yeah.
Can't bet on your own team.
Don't bet unders on your own team.
Yes.
We know that. I also find it odd. College athletes that have been allowed to play in the sport, and we just shrug shoulders over the crimes they commit. And I'm not telling you, but it's a weird fundamental thing in sports where we look at gambling and we're like, highest of sins. Punching a girlfriend in a McDonald's on camera, knocking her cold out.
Acceptable.
Forgivable.
Yes.
And so,
but
like,
gambling on your team is the cardinal sin.
The cowardness of coaches to not put their names on quotes condemning this. The ridiculous nature of programs saying, we will not schedule play. Okay, Georgia, you're in a playoff game, you're going to play a playoff game. And the holding up the almighty, the sin of sins, while awful car stuff is going on,
sure.
Abuse of substances has gone on, making of academic programs has gone on, hiding child rape. I mean, what do we need to name here? And it's like they're all lower. He gambled.
He gambled.
He gambled. It's the one thing you can't. It's like, but what?
What?
So, like, I found myself weirdly shocked, disgusted by it, but also the reaction of some of it. It's like all of these cowards lying in the weeds, whispering what they think, instead of standing up and going, my name is Kalani Sitake. I am in the Big 12. F this team. This should not stand at all. And if they come out and say it, I'll take some of this stuff back. But it's just ridiculous, some of the fallout reaction to it.
You're 100% spot on. I've always had that weird conundrum internally where we just kind of parrot the idea that this is the cardinal sin that you can't do, when in reality there are, in a lot of rational people's minds, way worse crimes that you can actually commit. It should be pointed out, like, if we're just going to take this at face value and not compare crimes, because that is a slippery slope that you can get into of what's worse than the other. There is the idea, like, well, he just gambled on his team to win, and it should be pointed out there were a lot of times, many in which he gambled on the under of Indiana football while he was at Indiana. Now, you can jokingly say that's the right bet, because Indiana, it was pre-Signetti, and they were one of the worst teams in the country. So it's not a bad bet.
Right.
But it wasn't like he was just gambling on Moneyline Indiana every time. Like, boys, let's have some good vibes. I'm putting $20 on us to win. He was gambling like first half unders of
be
their
terrible.
Games. Like, we're not going to score. I'm going to cash in on this. So this whole idea, he wasn't playing, so it wasn't like he was throwing games. It should be pointed out. A lot of people have said that. Now, I also will say, because I agree with your larger assessment, that does seem to be a big issue in college athletics. You'll get these grandiose quotes and these hot takes, and nobody will put their – this has been happening in the tampering stuff. Like, you get all tampering. Everybody's outraged by it. Then name a school. Name a player. That's why what Dabo did with Golding, he was like, dude, they called him. Yep. He's in my office, and you're texting him.
Yeah.
Like, good for you. Put a name with it, right? Let's call these people out. There are some that have done it. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, came out and said it's a horrendous pattern, eroding the integrity of our process. Sonny Dykes came out with a quote, said, we've lost our soul. How is anybody ever going to trust the outcome of a game again? Which, I don't know, that seems a little extreme.
Well, but that's going to be a big issue of this, of the fallout of, like, anytime a team weirdly plays bad or a player plays bad.
It's brought up every time this happens.
I mean, people already jokingly say it because we've had the thing in the NBA.
Yes.
They're still dealing with some of that.
He threw a horrible pick. Go back and watch the Nebraska game. They opened with Nebraska when he was at Cincinnati last year. Mm-hmm. They had the ball. They were down 20-17 with a minute to go, driving to tie or take the lead. And on 1st and 10 with about 52 seconds to go, he lobbed a ball into the end zone. And
where
it was
like,
an
why
easy
would you do that?
Pick when they were in field goal range. And I want to say it was on 1st and 10, and everybody's like, what? You had the, like, why would you take that risk? A field goal ties the game. And then this story comes out, and where does everybody go
also
mentally?
How does Indiana and Cincinnati, assuming they knew about this?
This is all coming from Cincinnati.
To Texas Tech, and like, good
luck.
This
is the one conspiracy theory that is 100% correct. This kid signed a contract with Cincinnati. Flaked out on the deal.
Yeah, they were pressing him on it.
The Damon Williams thing, where he decided to not pay the buyout. So he comes out and says, no, I'm leaving. So they're filing a lawsuit against him to get the money back in the contract. That's already going on. Cincinnati absolutely knew about this and floated this out there because he turned his back on him and left his contract and was refusing to pay back the details. But you had the AD at Florida come out and compare it to the Black Sox scandal of 1919. So there's a few
AD's, you had names, but like I'm talking
with you
about
on a larger
the movers
issue.
And shakers of the sport.
Scott Strickland's name does not ring the same as Ryan Day or Dan Lanning. And I love your point on Georgia refusing to play him when they get like, dude, you got your own issues in your own
place. You stay?
Let's not glass house this thing here. Okay, let's take away the driver's license of your players, and then maybe we can criticize somebody else for the wrongdoings off the field.
Yeah.
There is one gross element of this that I want to get to on the other side, because I think Soup brought this up on social media yesterday, probably did on the show as well. There is somebody that has become a very featured voice in this entire debate, that it seems like there's a very opportunistic angle of this.
Oh, he's formed the legislation.
Yes, I mean, they're defending this knowing the reaction that it will cause and the hopeful outcome that it will cause. So I'll explain that a little bit more in detail. Some more thoughts on the Sorsby situation coming up. We'll get to the mail sack at the top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fam. Mail sack coming up top of the hour. A funny twist on this story. The appeal that is going to happen in the Seventh Circuit Court in Texas, I believe is what where it's heading. All four judges on that court are Texas Tech grads.
Did we find out if anybody donated to yesterday's ruling judge?
Yeah, TBD.
Because the guy before him had to recuse himself
He was... he was in photos doing the Guns Up Texas Tech salute, dude, with the mascot, like a booster event.
Look, I know there's far more that it takes than just some voices. This, to me, summed up why they are in the situation they are with this legislation, government help. They just refuse to hold each other accountable. And I also found the other side of it gross. Cody Campbell... Joey McGuire, who I jokingly had fun with when you were out about
the Texas thing, the scheduling in Texas.
I loved it. Yeah, well, his comment, I think he's gone through enough. What?
You think he's gone through enough because you need a starting quarterback for your team next year.
Yes, you want to win the
national championship. And you don't know how good your backup is going to be off his ACL injury, and it's very... like to your point, I'm going to get to Cody Campbell in a second. You brought up the point of the anonymous quotes. How about this one taking the crown? This is an anonymous Big 12 coach.
Yeah, I probably read this one too.
Quote, if this is the precedent, then I owe it to my players to bring in people from Las Vegas to teach us how to gamble. Then collectively, we need to decide which games we will play hard in to cover the spread and which ones we won't. I'm supposed to do what's best for my players, and if that's the case, they'd be able to make a lot of money betting on our games. That's the precedent for me. It's a hell of a quote. It's anonymous.
What if that's Rich Rod?
Rich Rodriguez
saying... what if that was just Rich Rod
saying just telling me I need to bring a bookie in from Vegas to tell me which lines we can make the most money on. And hey, guys, let's go give it our all today to make sure we cover 21.5. And if we do, we'll all get rich off of it because you can't punish us for gambling on our team.
This is not coaches' faults or problems who aren't involved in the situation. I also find it odd that coaches will loudly speak up and give their opinions on state of sport. Should you have a second recruiting window? Which recruiting window should you get rid of?
Right.
When should we play bowl games? Yeah. Well, I'll give you my take. These issues pop up. Yeah, I think this is awful. Don't sign my name to it. Why?
Why? What do you got to lose?
Are you afraid you're going to have somebody get caught gambling and then like you're going to want them to play? It's
right.
Like that is what I hate. I also know that like somehow somebody did it. I didn't think anybody would be able to make Lane Kiffin, not the most hated person in college football.
It's Cody Campbell, that for you?
It's Texas Tech and Cody Campbell.
Joint.
And even Sark's comments. I forgive you, Steve. Steve, you're okay.
I take
just
it all back,
go do
Steve.
It with Arch. Be good. Lane, good luck at LSU, man. I know you ditched your team, but I hate that fundamentally. Texas Tech is the most hated program in college sports, and I think they're leaning into it.
That certainly was the case in softball. It's been the case for a bit in football, and that is the angle of this that is just really dirty because – you have, on the one hand, them coming out and doing everything they can to defend Sorsby and back him. In his case, you mentioned McGuire in the quotes about he's gone through enough and it's been enough suffering. Cody Campbell defending him at every angle. And then the second that this ruling happens, after publicly backing him and wanting him to play, turning around and acting as if, see how broken this system is? Do you see how screwed up this? This is why we need help. Literally today. So the ruling comes down yesterday morning, right in the middle of the show when you guys were on. Comes out. Everybody's reacting to it all day. Less than 24 hours, we have a long op-ed piece in the USA Today by Cody Campbell. The whole premise of it being federal antitrust protection is the only working path towards saving college sports.
To give the NCAA unlimited power.
He is one of the main voices behind the Protect College Sports Act, and we don't need to get into debating that again. The ruling yesterday is one of the reasons where it's like, all right, there's worse outcomes than this. I would like to have some framework of rules while not defending everything that's in the bill,
right?
Because not all of it is perfect, and I grant you that completely. it just makes this look like a gross conspiracy to have, like, we got this guy who gambled on his own team. He broke the, we can joke about it, the cardinal sin in sports that you shouldn't be able to do. We're going to defend his ability to play. We're going to take it to court. We're going to, you know, give him the lawyers and all the backing that he needs with all of our money and all of our power. We're going to get a judge who's going to rule on our side. And then in the aftermath of that, not only are we going to capitalize on our quarterback being available to play next year, we're also going to capitalize on the headlines that it will create and the drama that it will create to drum up support for the bill by saying, see, this is why college athletics is broken. When in reality, if you think this is a reason college athletics is broken, you know what you could have done? Said, hey, Sorsby, sorry, man, you broke the one rule you can't break in athletics, and we can't defend you, and you're no longer a Red Raider. We're going to move on from you. You gambled on your own team, and you gambled on your own team in cases to not score points, essentially gambling against your own team.
Yeah.
We can't back you. We can't defend you. This is too gross for us. Will Hammond is our starting quarterback next year. Thanks, but no thanks. If you want to go back to Cincinnati and try there, you can. They defend him and then turn around and call the entire process broken
and tell you,
when
yes,
the defense of him is proven correct and upheld by a judge. It just is the grossest
of gross.
Because
they want the legislation. They want the power back.
To have an op-ed the day after, we already knew how opportunistic all of this was and how gross all of it was. It's like oh,
he clearly wrote that.
You wrote that out
ruling.
Of your hip pocket, huh? Just out of the blue, off of the cuff, on the back of a napkin last night. P.S. You've been writing that for weeks because you knew this is the way the ruling was going to go.
I do hope as time goes on, we get more coaches and voices that matter willing to speak out with the name on it. Do you think he's going to play? Because there are people that think he's ultimately...
I do think he's going to
They're going to find their way out of it because they want the legislation to pass. This is all just a smokescreen for, there's no rules to this. You don't want rules, then fine.
People say, well, support your bill if you don't let him play. If that's the end-all be-all, then I question the people who are saying that, because that shouldn't be the hang-up of the bill. I do ultimately think he's going to play because there are no rules and nothing
that's
really matters
wild.
In college athletics.
That is just wild.
And, the landing point from – like, I would love if Lanning came out and said something about this. I love when coaches put their names behind it. Like, it's a nice step for ADs to come out and say, we're not going to play you. But to your larger point, if you're in a college football playoff game and you're Georgia and Texas Tech is standing in your way, you're not going to boycott the game. It will not happen. Where this needs to happen, from the coach who I read the quote of anonymously at the start of the segment about, I'm going to get my team to gamble on our games for or against to make money because there's no rules anymore. Where this stops and starts is in their own conference.
The conference has to do
it. It's them coming out and saying, the other coaches and institutions in the Big 12 saying, we will not play Texas Tech this year. And if you want to call it a forfeit, we'll go to court or do whatever we need to do. We refuse to play them as long as he is involved in anything with your team. The whole thing is
all
gross.
All of this to just not have a players' union.
All right, exactly.
That's all it is.
It's exactly what it is. When we could have had that years ago because we don't want to play. It's too slippery of a slope, and then we have to pay the volleyball players, and God forbid we have to pay the volleyball players or have them be in a union. And it's just like there are answers here, and I don't know if we're eventually going to find them. But I do look at yesterday and wonder, and nobody has the answer to the question, will it be more of a speed bump or a lightning rod moment that actually leads to fundamental change one direction or the other? Time will only tell in that instance, but I can't remember the last time there was something that was that universally criticized from around the college athletics world of like, really? We're going to let this guy play? Are you kidding me? And there's been a lot of guys who have done a lot of bad things who have been able to play. To your point, there's worse crimes than gambling on your own team, literally.
It's a terrible crime. I wasn't trying. Yeah. I'm just saying.
You're not
like,
trying to make light of it. I agree with 100% with the point. There's guys who have done some pretty heinous things and been able to play.
Yeah.
But it just that felt like as universal of a come together moment in college athletics that I've seen in a while. Now, does it lead to anything is anybody's guess, but I'm hopeful at least that it does in positive ways for the sport, but time will tell on the outcome.
Also, I don't want to shy away from the reality of the first game that they're on television against a marquee team and he's suited up. Like,
won't happen for a while. You guys,
he's suspended for us and Abilene Christian.
Hey, what's the line gone to in that game? Should we make that joke? What's the DraftKings line on Oregon State, Texas Tech?
Dropped a point and a half.
I mean, it had to come down a little bit. I'd
Texas
imagine,
Tech
right?
Minus 27.
26
and a half
now?
Now it's 27.
Yeah, you're giving me that. I might have to take those points.
Come on. It's a home game.
I might go money line.
Home game
beeps? Right?
Are you kidding me?
Let's do it. We'll see where it goes from here. An ugly day in college athletics. Feels like we've been saying that a lot lately.
Well, and I think that's the other thing is like, I've been screaming this for a while of like, hey, none of this seems a little broken.
Yep.
And I've just been almost wowed to a certain extent of how, like, no big deal. No big deal. No big deal. Ah, no big deal. Conference dead? No big deal. And I'm saying to her, like, dude, none of this is right. This is all weird. Why are we doing?
Right.
And it took this.
I saw a lot of that reaction yesterday.
For a vast majority of people to go, yeah, I think it's broken. And I'm like, you think?
I saw a lot of that yesterday.
It took 90 things to happen to build up to the most broken of thing for you.
Not a conference dying, not players entering the portal because somebody sneezed the wrong way in a meeting, not tampering, not none of that stuff broke the sport, but this broke the sport.
This is what did it.
This is what did it.
Dude, it's cuts by it's a thousand cuts that led to this, man.
That ultimately broke the camel's back. We'll see where it goes from here. Ugly day in the NCAA yesterday. Sorsby. He's likely going to play next year. We'll wait and see if there's any more updates there. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Blue Line Brandon, his thoughts on Game 4, Stanley Cup Final tonight. Did we get another classic? Hopefully it continues. We start, though, with the mail sack. Our Sparta TRT mail sack, as always, on Tuesdays. Kicks off the final hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.